And I want to encourage you to ask this of yourself too. Who benefits from you denying yourself pleasure and connection?
Welcome to the Sensuality Academy podcast, where I share tangible techniques to help you embody your femininity, enhance your sex life, and elevate your relationships. I'm your host, Eleanor Hadley, sensuality coach and founder of Sensual Yoga. Now let's unleash your inner sensualista.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online counseling platform that matches anyone around the world with licensed professional therapists. I first came across BetterHelp while I was stuck in isolation and spiraling. I knew how beneficial it could be to work with a therapist, but it wasn't possible to leave the house during lockdown. Plus, I was skeptical that I could find a good therapist in my local area, not to mention my nomadic nature and knowing that I wouldn't be living in that same place for too long. Enter BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an amazing way to access therapy from anywhere in the world for a fraction of the cost of in-person sessions. You'll be expertly matched with a professional therapist according to your needs and preferences. For example, you can request a therapist who is a specific gender, someone who is familiar with LGBTQIA+ issues, or you can request a therapist of color. Plus, you'll be matched with someone who is qualified to help you with the issues that you're going through, so you know you're in good hands. What I love about BetterHelp is that not only do you get access to weekly, yes, weekly, video or phone sessions, but you also have the ability to message your therapist through the app anytime, making therapy so much more accessible. Your therapist can also upload worksheets for you based on what you're going through. Plus, you can access groupinars with other counselors each week on a huge range of topics like managing anxiety, sleep, relationships, and self-care. BetterHelp goes above and beyond traditional therapy and is way more affordable, which is perfect for those of you who, like me, may not have committed to in-person therapy before. If you'd like to give BetterHelp a try, I'm happy to share that as a listener of the Sensuality Academy podcast, you can receive 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Eleanor. That's BetterHelp.com/ELEANOR. Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the Sensuality Academy podcast. Tell me, how many people have you had sex with? And does it even matter? This week on the podcast, I'm talking all about what the term body count means, why we all need to be a lot less judgmental, the Madonna whore complex, prioritizing your pleasure, and so much more. So let's get into it. We all know I love a bit of TikTok. Honestly, it's such a great place for episode inspiration sometimes. Anyway, I've come across a trend over there where people, most often teenagers, are talking about what their body count is. Now, I'm a whole 31 years old, and as much as I'd rather not admit it, I'm not super across all the current terms and slang being used, but I'm adaptable and interested to learn and understand, so I did some research. Turns out, the term body count is being used not to refer to how many dead bodies are around, a bit morbid, but instead how many people you've had sex with. And there are videos all over TikTok of people randomly asking others what their body count is. And many with people who are stating, if your body count is 1 to 2, it means this about you. And if it's 3 to 5, it means this about you. If it's 6 or higher, it means this about you. And on and on and on. Folks, this is slut shaming at its finest. The idea that there's any moral weight attached to the number of people you've had sex with. It's just the most patriarchal thing I've ever heard. But it's not a new concept by any means. Many people ask and get asked what their number or their tally is, and still the judgment. The concept is messed up, and we're going to unpack it in today's episode, but I also want to quickly mention how awful this new terminology of quote-unquote body count is. Way to completely disconnect and remove any sense of intimacy from a topic as nuanced and personal as your sexual partner's. It really just perpetuates the notion that sex is something that you do to someone else or have done to you. It's completely devoid of the potential for sex to be, you know, really vulnerable and loving and exciting, a fun experience that you share with a full human being. And instead, this language shifts the focus to just the physical body itself, not the person inhabiting said body that you're now counting to prove some kind of moral point. Gross. Okay, so what's with the judgment around how many people someone has slept with at all? Whether it's considered too low or too high, and as a little caveat here, any time I say too low, too high, body count, assume they're in air quotes, because I don't really like the terminology, but this is what I'm using to explain it today. So whether it's considered, you know, quote unquote, too low or too high, it's like we can't win and get judged either way. There's an assumption out there that if it's too low, it means you're inexperienced. And yet if it's too high, that somehow means that you're used goods, in air quotes. And we know this is more often than not incredibly gendered, and I'll talk more about that later. Before I get into sharing some of your thoughts on this matter, I want to add a caveat. I feel like I need a little bell or something to signify it's caveat time. I love a caveat. I want you to know, first of all, my love, that sexuality is yours. Your sexuality is yours and yours alone. I highly encourage you to take ownership of your sexuality and your sexual pleasure. We're going to talk a lot about this body count topic today, but remember, sex exists outside of your experiences with others. I think too often we think of the word sex, we think of the concept of sex, and immediately associate it with something done with another person. And yeah, that shit's great. I love partnered sex. Yay, partnered sex. But also, don't forget about self-sex, self-pleasure. Yeah, I'm talking about masturbation, folks. Your sex is yours. Your pleasure is yours. So own it, explore it. And if you want to, then share it. So I asked all of you over on Instagram this week to share your thoughts and experiences with this topic, and I got lots and lots of very varied responses. On one end of the spectrum, some of you reached out to me and told me that you had only recently had sex for the first time. And yes, I'm intentionally not using the phrase lost your virginity because I have thoughts and feelings on that terminology. But I'll go into that another time. Or you've shared with me that you had waited until later than what seems, or later than what is deemed societally as quote unquote normal, and received judgment for it. Sometimes you told me that the judgment came from within, with a fear around sharing it with a new partner or feeling like you had to give them a heads up. And sometimes the judgment was external, where you shared that others thought there was something wrong with you. Or in the case of one woman who shared with me, she said that a male friend had openly said in a group conversation that he could never have sex with a virgin, knowing full well that she was there. When I posed the question about body count, someone else shared this with me. She said, I feel awkward in the reverse because mine is so low. I've only ever slept with my current partner and I feel like people would have judgments going the other way. I feel like I can't win. Another of you said, I feel ashamed of my body count. People patronize me and assume I'm not sexual. This is such a great point. Sure, your count might be considered low because you've been in a monogamous relationship for a long time, but this sure as hell doesn't mean you're not sexual. Yeah, in some cases, well, in quite a lot of cases, maybe a long-term monogamous relationship or someone who is a serial monogamous going from one long-term relationship to another means that perhaps you have the same type of sex again and again with no variation. But that's not necessarily the case. Obviously, there's a lot of people in long-term relationships who have wild, crazy, amazing, very varied sex and a great sex life. It's the assumption that if it's low, that means you're inexperienced. Doesn't work like that. Also, on this point, let's not judge people for not being sexual in general. Just like we shouldn't judge people for being sexual. My take on this is that, yes, I do believe that sex is a powerful thing for us to do. I really think it connects us deeply with ourselves, our pleasure, and with our sexual partners, and it can be just one of the best things ever. A lot of my work is about giving you permission to explore your sexual self, the one that's been repressed by unrealistic societal standards, many of which have been imposed by the influence of religion. So yeah, I think sex is great. This is why I teach about it so much. I'm a big fan. But you know what I'm even more of a fan of? Sovereignty and self-exploration. I'm here to offer you ideas and concepts so that you can then go off and explore in yourself until you find what feels good. I don't believe in replacing one doctrine from society with another. What Eleanor thinks is good for me. You feel me? All right. Okay, back to the responses I received from you all. On the other end of the spectrum, I had lots of you share with me that you've been judged, called a slut, a whore, a hussy, and all those other names that women get called from simply owning their sexuality because of your perceived high number. All right, can I just get a collective eye roll here? Ugh. Here's what you shared with me. One of you said, I was called a whore by a female friend of mine because of my count. Because women internalize slut shaming more than men. I don't keep track anymore because it doesn't matter. As long as the sex is good and fulfilling and consensual, number doesn't matter, and I share it openly. I stopped counting when it was higher than my age. And I think this is a really great perspective to have. I honestly don't think it matters. But how many of you have heard judgments about women who seem to enjoy sex? Even the word slut itself is used to shame women into adhering to the status quo because, God forbid, someone would think you're a slut. I know myself, I don't want to be considered a slut because the assumption is that slut is bad. Since we receive this kind of messaging constantly from society that being a slut is bad, it's only natural that we begin to internalize this fear and eventually we start to slut shame ourselves. And many of you actually shared with me that you had turned down potential opportunities for sex, for exploration, out of a fear of being judged, either internally or externally, as a slut. This is how pervasive patriarchal thinking is. It becomes so ingrained that we, the ones oppressed by said patriarchal ideals, continue to uphold it, despite how absolutely detrimental it is to us. This notion goes for all the worst things as well, by the way. So, like I'm talking about internalized slut shaming, but then also internalized misogyny, internalized homophobia, internalized biphobia, More on that next week. And also internalized racism too. This is why I harp on about questioning your conditioning so damn much. Any of my clients or my students know I talk about questioning your conditioning constantly. I think it's so important. Yeah, it's uncomfortable as hell, and some shit's going to come up that you don't like and you don't want to admit about yourself. But it's so damn important if we are to grow and to break free of these, you know, oppressive systems that keep the status quo going while harming people left, right, and center, including ourselves. Now, back to the word slut. It's tangent time. I was thinking actually to do a whole episode about the word slut, and maybe I still will. And so I had actually already done some research and found some really interesting things about the origins of the word. Check this out. According to an article from The Daily Beast, the OED's first definition for slut is a woman of dirty, slovenly, or untidy habits or appearance. A foul slattern. Slattern. What a funny word. It had nothing to do with sexuality. And the earliest citation is from 1402, which predates any citations for either the words fuck or cunt. Yeah, I said it. Side note, if you haven't yet, please head on over to my Instagram and find the words highlight to see a bit more of a history lesson on the word cunt. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Anyway, back to the word slut. Apparently, when some dude called Samuel Johnson first published his dictionary, he defined a slut as a dirty woman, and also noted that it was a word that was slightly contemptuous towards women. The examples he cites all use dirty in the most typical, obvious ways that aren't sexual at all. A woman of loose morals, apparently, or, as some would have it, a woman with the morals of a man. That's a direct quote. Interesting that a woman with the morals of a man is a bad thing. Like, so if these morals aren't good, why are they okay in men? Ugh, the ingrained double standards just send me. Ridiculous. Then, according to an article that I found in Yoja Mag, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that properly, they said it wasn't until 1966 that slut became what we know it as today. Quote, a woman who enjoys sex in a degree considered shamefully excessive. They also shared that, not surprisingly, this new definition came around a similar time that women happened to gain their right to contraception, especially in the US with the Griswold versus Connecticut in 1965. And they claimed control over their sexuality for the first time. The article says, coincidence? I think not. As soon as women were able to embrace their sexuality without fear of pregnancy, the label of slut just kind of popped up and arose to keep them in check. Slut was a warning for women to adhere to female sexual norms. I'd also kind of argue norms, like they're not norms, they're expectations. I don't think that women not expressing their sexuality is normal. I think it's an expectation. I think it's something that has been pushed onto us. But that shit ain't normal. We're sexual beings. Come on now. And because the patriarchy is all about keeping men in power and women beneath them, it's about control. It's about women being possessions. These are the roots of patriarchy, when women were legitimately considered property, and in some places in the world still are. An empowered woman owning her sexuality is a radical concept, and one that really scares the patriarchy. And further to this, there's an article from the BBC that shared the word slut is an embodiment of the double standards employed when discussing the sexual appetites of women and men. Women are described as sluts, while men are often referred in a less derogatory light as studs or a ladies' man. These double standards. Fuck, I am so sick of them. Okay, story time. When I think of this topic of body count and being judged for my number, one memory pops up rather vividly for me. So I was in a long-term relationship of about 5 years when we went through a breakup. I was totally heartbroken, but anyway, one day, about 5 months PB post-breakup, for some stupid reason, I decided to accept an invitation from my ex to come around for dinner. Now, despite having broken up, he had still been calling me constantly. And the whole ordeal just, you know, dragged out. I'm sure you know the kind. Anyway, I went over. It was tense. It was emotional. And at some point, this fucking guy, asks me if I'd been with anyone since we broke up. Now, it took me a solid 4 months to heal enough to even be remotely interested in being with anyone else. But yes, I told him I had slept with someone. One person. I tell you, the look of horror and straight up disgust on this boy's face. Oh, it made me feel awful. I felt completely judged, dirty. I felt wrong. I felt bad. I felt guilty. And he starts banging on about how pure I was and that the thought of someone else touching me just disgusted him. So, red flags all around, right? The gall to shame me at all should have been enough for me to just like up and leave out the door. But instead, you know what I did? I retaliated and I asked him how many people he'd slept with. You want to know what he said? He said he couldn't count. Are you fucking kidding me? I pointed out the absolute monstrous hypocrisy of his judgment of me, and all he could say was, oh, it's different for girls. To quote one of my Instagram followers, sir, your misogyny is showing. The next moment was like something out of a movie. It was cinematic as fuck. I was livid, clearly, that he would dare to judge me so harshly for sleeping with one whole person while he couldn't count how many people he'd been with since our breakup. So I gave him a right talking to, and I'm talking all up in his face, like backing him into a corner to the point where this man was up against the wall and even took it upon himself to slide down to the floor in shame because of the serve that I gave him. I then proceeded to proclaim that I was officially done and uninterested in any form of salvation of the relationship and promptly left the building with a big slam of the door. It was all very dramatic. And looking back, probably not one of my finest moments, or maybe it is my finest moment. I don't know. Depends how you look at it. Clearly, I didn't have great communication skills back then or emotional literacy, but oh, I tell you what, I learned a very important lesson that day. I realized that part of me, like that part of me that is heavily conditioned by societal standards and just being existing as a woman in this world, there was part of me that kind of agreed. Like part of me actually thought, yeah, it is different for girls. Because we're sold this fairy tale princess idea that we should meet this one person and be with them only forever and ever, and that anything outside of that isn't okay, and that for women to be sexual is wrong. This is clearly way before I decided to start teaching about sex. I've come a long way. And honestly, for quite a while, I've had to deal with my own internalized slut-shaming ways, where I've held myself back because I fear this label of slut. And this is because it's so ingrained. So I've had to work through why I was denying myself pleasure and what I was afraid of. You know, turning down invitations to go on dates or stopping things before they went quote unquote too far because I didn't want to be judged, even though the pleasure was there. Even as recently as last week, I was unpacking this shit. I sent a text message literally to a friend last week talking about a situation. And she asked me a question and I said, oh, I think I'm internally slut-shaming myself. Yeah, okay, noted. The work never stops, but the awareness builds and oof, is it liberating as hell when you allow yourself to just kind of shed all of that shitty conditioning that does not serve you. Oof. I've learned to ask myself the question now, who benefits from denying my self-pleasure and connection? And I want to encourage you to ask this of yourself too. Who benefits from you denying yourself pleasure and connection? Because I sure don't. Again, if it's consensual and fun, fucking go for it. Yes, deep love and reverence plus sex are a great combo. Chef's kiss. But you don't need long-term commitment and love to have great sex. Passionate, connected sex. You don't need it. It's great, but it's not necessary. And I cover this in a lot more detail in episodes 10 and 14, where I talk about gourmet sex versus snack sex, and also the concept of spiritual slut shaming, which we all know I'm very passionate about. So I asked a lot of you if you feel like you internally self slut shame as well. And oof, the results were overwhelming. So many of you, especially the women who follow me, you shared that you too have turned down the opportunity to have sex with someone for fear of judgment, that you haven't acted how you really feel towards someone due to the same fear, and that you even feel shame for whatever your number might be because people assume it means something about you as a person. As humans, we're such good storytellers, story makers. That is, we constantly create these big, elaborate stories, adding meaning to things that aren't really true. So I want to invite you today to flip the script, to change the story. If your number is considered low, perhaps flip that to mean you've had explorations with a few great people. Or maybe if you're in a long-term relationship, use this as an opportunity to inquire about how you can explore the limits of your pleasure. If your number is considered high, maybe try reframing that to mean you've had some great experiences and learnt a lot. That's empowering. So empowering. You've prioritized your pleasure. Like, go you. And if wherever you are at number-wise, you feel unfulfilled, then use this as an opportunity to dig deeper and explore what you really want out of your sex life. Are you craving more connection? Do you want to try some different things? Would you like to explore your sexuality or your gender even more? What would be most fulfilling and nourishing for you? Now, something I have to touch on when we're talking about these double standards is the concept of the Madonna whore complex. If you're not familiar, then let me explain. And first thing to know is that it's not referring to Madonna the singer. It's the biblical reference. In psychoanalytic literature, a Madonna whore complex is the inability to maintain sexual arousal within a committed and loving relationship. It's where men see women as either saintly Madonnas, as in the virgin mother type. Excuse me if I'm getting my references wrong. Don't really know much about religion. or they see them as, you know, debased prostitutes. Men with this complex desire a sexual partner who has been degraded, the whore, while they can't desire the respected partner, the Madonna. Freud actually wrote, "Where such men love, they have no desire, and where they desire, they cannot love." And good old Urban Dictionary had this to add, "A man with a Madonna whore complex is a man who will sleep with and lust for a sexual and beautiful woman, but he will never respect her as, quote unquote, a wife material, and he will never, ever marry her. In his eyes, she is tainted, impure, unworthy of the status of wife. Yet he may possess passionate and contradictory feelings for her. He may even be in love with her, but will never allow himself to be with her in any real sense. He will look for, instead, a quote-unquote good girl to marry, usually a woman who is cold sexually, but, for example, is good at wifely domestic things like cooking, cleaning, homemaking in general. A proper, pure Madonna type who will bear his children." Oh my gosh, so much here. This is actually part of what makes Cardi B's new song, WAP, so remarkable, because in it she says, "I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me show you how I got this ring." Completely defying the stereotype that you need to have those skills to be worthy of marriage. Not only that, but talk about owning your sexuality and pleasure. If you haven't listened to the song yet, go ahead and listen to it. I'm sure you have. There's been a lot of controversy around it. And honestly, I'm going to do more specifically about this song in another episode coming up soon. I've got a fabulous journalist who's going to come onto the show to talk all about WAP and what it means for women, for sexual empowerment, and also particularly for Black women. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a really great episode. So this thinking that a woman is either a good girl and marriage material, or that she's promiscuous and therefore not worthy of partnership, is so common. Like, when we're talking about a man having this complex, it kind of makes it sound like it's a thing that only some people have. And of course, everything exists on a spectrum, and so some are like deep in the throes of this ideology, and others are just influenced by it. But I really think that societally, there is this pervasive idea that women can't be both, and it's either one or the other. It's really fucking limiting. The idea that women can't possibly be both a great mother and a homemaker, which are both incredibly undervalued yet important and very skilled jobs, and have a sexual appetite at the same time, is ridiculous. Aside from this ridiculous notion, it's incredibly heterocentric as well. We're talking a lot in this episode, clearly, in the binaries of male-female, but yeah, this concept is quite heterocentric, and it's incredibly damaging for women and men alike, and everybody outside of the gender binary. The Madonna whore complex plays a huge, huge role in how women are judged for their sexual experience. We just can't win. You know, as those lyrics go, men seemingly want a lady in the sheets but a freak in the sheets, yet at the same time don't actually believe that the two can coexist. What's even more ridiculous about this dichotomy is that just like toxic masculinity and patriarchy itself, it's harmful to the very men who fight hard to uphold it. According to a paper that I found in the American Psychological Association's journal, they say men who perceive women's nurturance and sexuality as mutually exclusive endorse patriarchy and show lower relationship satisfaction. That is, if you believe this shit, it's not doing anything for you. And in fact, it makes your relationship and most likely your sex life suffer as a result. This just further reinforces that if you're a woman who is open to exploring her pleasure potential, you must be a whore. And side note here, the word whore is incredibly problematic, and this whole notion is also really harmful to sex workers who I know, deserve the utmost of respect. Yet, many faux feminists work tirelessly to exclude them. The term for people like this is SWERF, or Sex Worker Exclusionary Radical Feminists. And essentially, SWERFs maintain patriarchal ideology by reinforcing the judgment of women who actually take ownership of their sexuality and those who actually use it as a way to directly gain financially from the very people who are trying to oppress them in the first place, which I think is a pretty fucking radical concept, if you ask me. Anyway, that's a tangent and a half and a topic to dive into another day. But back to this Madonna whore complex, it entirely disempowers women from owning their pleasure and even thinking that their pleasure is something that they deserve. I'll say this again and again until it's just like a deeply ingrained mantra for you. Prioritize your pleasure. Better yet, say this with me. I deserve orgasms. I deserve pleasure. Another thing I asked you was whether or not this is something that you openly shared with your partners. And it was really varied. Some of you regularly have this conversation and others just avoid it like the plague. I know for me, it has never come up at all, obviously, besides that one experience that I explained before. And actually, on that note, I just want you to know, in that situation, I didn't feel, and I don't feel morally superior by any means, that at the time my number was lower compared to his, but instead I was infuriated by his judgment. That's what got me. I'm generally of the opinion that it doesn't matter in the slightest how many people my partner or lover has had. I find it to be just totally irrelevant because they're with me right now, in this moment. Sure, our past informs our current state to a degree, but it's not relevant for what's about to go down. And personally, I'm also not one for jealousy or comparison, and I would really hope that you're not either. Because honestly, if someone is with you, they're choosing to be with you. And you know what? It's a goddamn honor that they should be graced with your presence. So act accordingly. What I love about asking these sort of open questions over on Instagram is hearing people's different perspectives, because here I was, pretty set in my view that knowing a partner's body count was irrelevant. But then I had one wonderful follower who shared a really insightful perspective with me. Here's what she said. I believe it can be something worth talking about because someone may have a large body count, but they've had the same experience, like a quick fuck, over and over again, without really exploring sexual pleasure beyond repeating a similar type of experience. She said that she noticed in her 20s, a lot of her friendship group would kind of report having same sex, despite being either single or having a casual relationship. Despite being either single and having casual sex or being in a relationship. Yeah, you got me. And that being open about your experiences, she thought, could actually be the catalyst for opening up a conversation with a new lover about what kind of experiences you would like to explore in this new partnership. And I thought this was a really interesting perspective and way of thinking of it, because I really think it could serve a purpose. If you're with someone that you feel you can have an open, honest, and conscious discussion with on this matter, could be really, really wonderful. And another great point that this woman made was that this discussion had actually helped to support her healing of sexual trauma by simply opening up this discussion of previous experiences that she'd had with a new lover. Now that's powerful. I think that this level of honesty and talking about where you're at with your relationship to sex and pleasure, particularly after any kind of trauma, no matter the level, it can be so supportive. And honestly, this made me think it could be a great thing to add to my pre-sex talk acronym SHARED, which I shared in episode 15. Now, another thing that I want to explore, and I will do a full-length episode on this topic at some point because there is a lot to unpack here, but I think it's important to mention, and that is, what is even considered sex? Because I've heard many people say things like, oh, we did everything but sex. If we look at the highly heterocentric language that is used in media, movies, TV, many of us are led to believe that sex is penis in vagina only, and that everything else is foreplay. So, gosh, this notion in itself is just so exclusionary, like it hurts. Not to mention that it's limiting as all hell. I really want to encourage you to reframe what sex means to you. Because sex can mean intimacy, it can mean touching and pleasuring and experiencing arousal of any erogenous zones. It can mean orgasm or not. It can be whatever the hell you feel it is. But let's just challenge, shall we, the notion that the quote-unquote main event is penis in vagina. Because there's so much more pleasure to be experienced outside of that very, very limiting scope. Not to mention, for those people who don't have those parts, there's a lot to break down on that one, but I will save it for another episode about, you know, foreplay, and it's going to be a good one. I've been going for a while now, and I like to keep my episodes usually short and snappy, but goodness me, I just could not keep this one really, really tight because there's so much to unpack. Okay, time to wrap this up, but the moral of the story is you do you. You deserve pleasure, and please don't judge yourself, and especially don't you dare judge anybody else for their pursuit of pleasure. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode and your biggest takeaways, so be sure to head over to Instagram at Eleanor Hadley and share with me. Better yet, why not take just a short little minute to leave me a lovely review and a rating for the podcast? It would honestly mean so much. Plus, it'll help future listeners decide if this is the show for them. So go ahead and screenshot and share the episode on your socials and with your friends as well. Don't forget to tag me. I'm here to have an impact, and you can help me if you share the love. So thank you, and I appreciate you. I hope that you loved this episode. And also, if you're in Byron Bay at all, be sure to check out the show notes for a few upcoming events that I've got in store. And if you'd like to dive even deeper into your own pleasure journey and you're interested in coaching with me, be sure to check out the links in the show notes as well. Until next time, my loves, stay sensual. Thanks for listening to the Sensuality Academy podcast. Before you go, I want to invite you to take my free quiz to discover your pleasure language. This really quick, fun quiz will get you started on your journey to explore your own pleasure and how to communicate this with a partner. Plus, you'll receive a bonus worksheet with journaling prompts to dive even deeper. Check it out now in the show notes or head to eleanorhadley.com/pleasurelanguage. Also, don't forget to share with your friends, post it to your stories, and tag me over on Instagram at Eleanor Hadley. Enjoy!